Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it!
All right. The song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sawbones, a Meryl Drew of Misguided Medicine. I am your co-host, Justin Tyler McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
It's fine. It's fine. Sydney is on her first tour since March of 2020. This is the first tour with live Sawbones again.
It's so great to be doing this again. I just can't tell you.
I don't
Thank
know
you
why
all.
It's been since March of 2020, but there's some, I forget, but.
Something happened.
So welcome to our show. I know what you're wondering. Why are they dressed like that? Sydney?
Why not?
Yeah, that's fair. No, we're in the midst of this is two of a three-part mm-hmm. live series, which we've never done before. This is the second part. It's not a narrative thing. You're not going to be like lost. It's not going to be like, what's with the smoke monster?
It's an anthology. This is the next installment.
The next installment. I like that.
Can I call attention to your calves again?
Okay, I keep forgetting my socks. And I'm tired of getting bullied for it by Sydney, but this is the second show in a row that I've forgotten my long white socks. So you're just getting the pure business. Just the pure business.
I believe.
You're welcome, all these people over here.
I believe it was an accident last night. It was a choice tonight. And I don't disagree with it. We're doing a three-part series on pirate medicine. And also, these may have been our Halloween costumes, and we didn't get to wear them very much. Because
we were too busy.
So here we are
again. Oh,
thank
you. Actually, mine was made by our friends Alex and Julia Abin. So thank you to them.
Mm-hmm. And mine was made by my sibling, Taylor Smurl. So.
Right on. Okay, Sydney, take me back to the world of high adventure and even higher seas, the pirate life.
So as you may imagine, on a ship, access to medical care, to medicines, to whatever sort of treatments you might need was limited because you were out there for months and months at a time. Whatever you had with you is what you had to use. And whoever was aboard that was the surgeon or close enough is who was in charge of taking care of you. And there were a lot of different, you know, maladies that you could encounter, things that, you know, or that are common, like scurvy and such. But I want to focus this installment on burns. Now, I know that seems weird at first. Like, was that a big part of sailing? Burns, you're on the water. I can understand confusion, but.
You didn't let me say it. Like, usually confusion is my job. I wish you mm-hmm. wouldn't, like, anticipate my confusion.
Did it confuse you?
Yes, because it's the water, and why burns?
Well, so, ships are made of wood.
Well, we're going back to brass tacks here.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were made of wood, and they had like canvas sails, and like the lines would often be like tarred, and they're just very flammable.
Super flammable.
The ships were very flammable, and also you had things on ships, especially for pirates, like gunpowder, and you just sort of, especially in the midst of like a fight, it would be kind of tossed about. like you're trying to reload and do all the things.
They shouldn't toss the gunpowder. That's not the intended use. You got to put it in a gun. I keep telling people.
Well, but they would spill it, I think.
Oops.
Oops.
You're fired.
And then once it was spilled, like all that you needed was like a spark and then,
oops,
you know, oops.
Oops.
Oops, burns. And also, how would you light your cabin at night?
Candles.
Candles or a lantern, something flammable. And pirates sometimes liked to drink alcohol and would fall asleep without putting them out. There also, there actually were like rules on ships that at 8 o'clock, everybody put the candles out and go drink in the dark. Because fires were so frequent in that sort of scenario. Another reason that burns happen so much, I thought this isn't really medical, but as I was researching this, I found the mention of a weapon that could be used in a battle called a fire ship.
Whoa, cool.
Which is exactly what it sounds like. It's just a ship that is specifically for setting on fire and directing it the other team.
So basically, you might say it's a burner ship. No, 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 no. Don't build. Don't build. Don't build. You were right. Don't build. Your tepid response was exactly right. I knew what I was doing, all right?
As you can imagine, that was like high risk, high reward.
And so tough to find crew for, honestly.
And they would be like specifically loaded up with like things that would explode and then just like go.
Just go, guys,
that
get them.
Way.
Who wants, and they had to rebrand it a few times, I bet, because they might have tricked people with fireship once. But after that, I bet it was like, who's brave enough to be on the danger ship? The ship of thrills.
There were also accounts, like another way you could get burns, there were accounts of pirates sometimes, like when somebody was passed out drunk, using some of the plasters from the medicine chest, specifically the ones that were blistering. A lot of things we would put on wounds back then were pretty caustic because we thought that like the pus that would come out was part of the process and was like a desirable step along the way to healing. So there were a lot of substances that you would apply to wounds specifically to make them red and irritated and bloody and yeah, well, you know. And so they would put those on people who had passed out to try to wake them up. So then someone had to take care of all these burns. And at the time, the way that we approached burn care was based on the humoral system of medicine. It was based on the idea that we have four humors in our bodies that we have to keep in balance at all times in order to maintain health. And you can keep them in balance in a variety of ways by like getting some humors out if you have too much through bleeding or peeing or pooping or vomiting, all the ways you get things out, or putting things back in through certain diets that you would eat, certain foods and stuff. So the idea behind a burn, if somebody was burned, is that what has happened, whatever hot thing caused the burn has drawn all the hot humors. Mm. So mainly like blood, yes. But like the hot elements in the humors have come to that area and made it like hard and waxy. And all of the other humors have been driven out of it. And so that was sort of the pathology that they believed was happening at the site of the burn. So what you needed to do then is draw those hot humors away from the side of the burn and then replace it with good humors.
So like a strawberry shortcake bar or, you know, it must have been a hard sell to be like, look at a burn on a pirate and the doctor's like, ooh, I know what this is. You got a humoral problem. And the pirate said, I'm pretty sure it's from the burn. I just got a hot thing on me and it messed me up really bad. I'm not sure humors figure into it really at all. Like,
no, that was because like the treatments would really, so you have too much humors in that area. And so what we need to do then is cut you on the other side of your body. So they'll sort of flow away from there.
Yep. Out the back. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So that was a common treatment. You could also do cupping, where you create like a little vacuum in a cup and stick it to the body, and it's like a giant hickey sort of forms. You had to do it somewhere else because you were like pulling the heat away from the
burn.
That
must have worked though, because we still do it someplace, right?
No. It these are ways that you might get rid of the hot humors. You could also do it through giving, you know, an enema. Those were common and very popular. We've recovered.
Now wait, hold on. Common, yes. Popular is interesting. Speak on that, because I don't know.
We have recovered quite a few enema syringes from like the remains of like Blackbeard's ship.
Common, I'll grant you, but popular. Do you think there was a lot of people who were like, oh yeah, sign me up. We're all on this ship. We're all wild for enemas. I mean, I guess there's not a lot to do. It's pretty dull.
And because of this, by the way, this really informs how they approach the burn and why they thought patients got better or worse or what was happening. Your humoral personality, so like every person would be assigned kind of like a personality type based on what humors they thought you had too much of. And so if your burn was really bad, it was just because you were a really plethoric or sanguine person. You had too much blood. So like, well, it's not, you know, my fault as the doctor that I can't make you better. Your burn is bad because you're such a bloody person already. And that's not really on me. And you should have done a lot of like personal work before you got this burn.
You have to figure this stuff out early. You have to go see Admiral Cornelius BuzzFeed, and he'll help you figure out your exact type of humor. You just have to answer this quiz. He can tell you what kind of Disney character you are, what sort of IHOP order you might have.
It's
International House of Pirates.
No. This year, I'm earning them, folks, and don't give me more than I deserve. You gotta keep me hungry.
You enticed them with your calves right at the beginning.
Right at the beginning.
Fire and ice. That's me, fire and ice.
And this really, it's interesting because all of this understanding of why people got better or weren't getting better, it also is based on, so they would blame it on the pain. So burns are painful. We know this. And that what they would say is like the pain you're experiencing is really because you're in so much pain, it's making you sicker. The pain is causing the fever and further imbalance. So could you try to stop being in so much pain because it's making you sick? And if you would stop that, I don't have anything for it really.
No.
I am going to cut you on the other side of your body real quick.
And is that less pain? No, you're saying more pain. Okay. Oh, gosh. I'm kind of out of options here.
The nicer treatments were really just dietary things. Like, specifically, they would give you, like, gruel with currants and spices.
Nice.
Which sounds lovely. Like,
I'd murder that right now.
Here's some barley water. And then an enema. And then, I mean, which is better, I think, than the bleeding or the cupping. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Someone
in the crowd has a very concrete opinion on whether they prefer bleeding and cupping versus gruel and enemas. Someone didn't needed no time to think
you
about
keep,
that one.
You keep knocking enemas, but like, have you ever been really constipated?
What? I don't want to talk about it. As a first for me, 12 years of podcasting, I don't want to talk about that.
They did have like a concept of different degrees of burn. It wouldn't be exactly what we would call a first or second or third degree burn now, but like there was a staging that was similar to the way we look at burns. With a first degree burn, the thought was that there's a lot of heat in it. It was red. It looked red. And so it's very hot.
Is first degree, can you remind me, it
gets worse.
Okay.
Yeah. So like they would look at a first degree burn and say like, well, this really red, it's really hot. We all know that like cures like, so the most important thing we can do is make it hotter.
Yes,
so
yes.
If we
this
could
is
apply,
what I love.
If we could apply heat to the heat, You'll get better.
And they?
I mean, a lot of them probably were going to get better, so maybe they did get... See, this is what would happen, right? Like, you'd put some heat on it, they got better anyway, because maybe it wasn't that severe of a burn, and then you go, it worked.
It's the hiccups thing.
It worked.
Whatever you did right before you got hiccups, cures hiccups.
With second degree, they knew that blisters could form. And blisters, again, they thought that was just humors in there. Like, look at that. It's just a big bubble of humors, and we got to let them out. So first you had to pop the blisters. I know. And then you would cover them in things like vinegar and then like oily things to try to coat everything. And then there was a whole
lemon,
variety.
A little basil on there. Delicious.
Well, honestly, milk, honey, egg whites.
Doug, I'm sorry you're in so much pain, man, but I am getting hungry. Is that weird? I'm tired of gruel.
Onions were a really common treatment for burns, and they would take onions and like mash them into a paste and then just like coat you with onions, which just seems big because you're already suffering, you're burned, and then like nobody wants to hang around you because you smell like onions. And maybe egg whites. Egg whites were a common, I feel like they were trying to make fancy cocktails and then they just dumped them on people.
They just made a lot of lemon curd, and they're like, oh, we got so many egg whites left over. This is embarrassing.
There was a specific treatment if you got a burn in your eye. Ooh. There were two options you had. I guess you'll all have opinions on which one's worse. I feel like we're playing which is worse right now. So you could use breast milk. Now,
was that?
I have a lot of questions about where they were getting that.
Yeah.
Huh. On a pirate ship. Or pigeon's blood. Are you debating?
No, I'm still thinking about the breast milk. Did they bring it on board? Because TV and movies tell me that a lot of times breast milk wouldn't be super available on pirate ship.
There was also, it's interesting, there is a little note sometimes for a treatment for burn scars, which my initial thought was like, did they care about that? Like, about the, like a cosmetic thing. Like, if you don't like the look of that scar on your arm, here's an ointment you can put on it to make it go away. And I thought, that seems unlikely. And then there was a note at the bottom that was like, you would want to use this if it was like a porridge burn, not like a gunpowder burn. Like, it's for the burns you're embarrassed of. It's for, like, I spilled my hot porridge on me and I don't want anybody to know burns. Not, like, cool burns.
So, like the scar on my knee that's from when we were coming home that one time and I fell on the steps of my own home and dropped my Xbox on the ground. I would probably get that one lasered or porridged off or whatever. Get that enema out, I guess.
It's such a bad scar. And you threw your Xbox right into the bushes while you fell.
I wish y'all had been there because it was funnier than anything I'll ever say.
It was also so sad. I think the Xbox was okay, though.
The Xbox 360. It was already not long for this world. I'd wrap that bad boy in a towel enough times. He was ready for Valhalla. Not Assassin's Creed Valhalla, that would have melted it from the inside out. I'm saying it was ready for greener pastures.
I don't know the video game jokes. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. They liked it.
I want to tell you about one famous burned pirate.
But first, we have to go to the billing department.
If you want to get a tree and you want to get it fast and you don't want to have to leave your house to make it happen and you want a huge selection and then you want to partner in that tree buying process, somebody that's going to help you pick the exact right plant for your climate, tell you all the pro tips and continue to support you. This sounds like a fantasy, I know, but no, it's not.
Specifically like my fantasy.
Yes.
I love plants.
I love plants, but Sydney, Fast Growing Trees makes that a reality. I went to Fast Growing Trees. I told them our zip code. They told me, here's some apple trees that you can plant. And they told me when to plant them, where to plant them, how to plant them, all the steps. They made it really super easy. And when I had a question about it, I called them and they answered the question. And you know what? I'll be danged if those trees aren't out there growing leaves, not apples. it's a little early for that, listener, but there's leaves. That's a good sign in the biz, right, Sid?
There's leaves and flowers.
Leaves and flowers.
Flowers mean apples will come.
Apples will come, and the plants will come if you order them in 1 to 2 days from Fast Growing Trees. Right now, they got the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off when using the code Sawbones at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Sawbones at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Sawbones. Offer is valid for a limited time. Tell them we sent you. Right now, Sydney and I are directing a production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory here for the summer. And that's almost every night. So almost every night we got rehearsals, we have work, we have kids. But we would like to eat stuff that doesn't make us feel terrible. You know what I mean? Stuff that makes our bodies feel good. Not
exactly.
You know, fast food can get a little bit like, ooh, rough. You know what I mean?
Not every night.
Not every night, certainly. But Factor makes that a lot easier. These are fresh, never frozen meals made by real chefs and sent to your home that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And they've got a weekly menu, ton of different options, whatever way you want to eat. You want to pack in some more protein, you have flexitarian, whatever your eating style is, they got menus to suit it. Right now, you can head to factormeals.com/sawbones50 and use code sawbones50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code sawbones50 at factormeals.com/sawbones50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Manolo, guess what? Manolo, guess what?
What?
Factor Game Show has made it to 100 episodes on Maximum Fun.
Oh, that's true. I knew that.
Well, to celebrate, we are releasing our entire Earwolf archives to Max Fun members. That's anyone who gives $5 or more monthly to support podcasts like Factor Game Show.
That's 63 episodes with in-studio comedian guests like Jason Mantzoukas, Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers, Joe Pera, Todd Barry and Janine Garofalo, Connor O'Malley, Chris Gethard and more.
Plus 3 bonus episodes that include 2 pilot episodes. Wow, 2 pilots must be good.
Find the feed at MaximumFun.org/BOCO. B-O-C-O.
Stands for bonus content.
Presenting the new MaxFunStore.com. We've got shirts for your torso, hats for your head, drinkware for your finest beverages, and so much more. Starring your favorite Max Fun shows with new and classic designs. Find the perfect gift for the podcast fan in your life. Heck, that could be you. We're not judging. Head to MaxFunStore.com now. That's MaxFunStore.com.
Wouldn't that have been wild if somebody come out and be like, eat Wheaties, then they left?
Man, if we could get that Wheaties sponsorship,
anything,
though.
Man. Any cereal sponsorship?
No, I just think it's funny because as I was researching, like, treating burns on pirate ships, there comes up a story of, like, you know, one pirate that got burned so much that that's how he's known in history is, like, that pirate that got burned that time. His name was Lionel Wafer.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. He grew up in the Scottish Highlands. He wanted to be a barber surgeon, so he started like a practice after he went through his apprenticeship, which would have been like you start at like 12 or 13 and you just hang out with a barber surgeon for like 6 or 7 years and then you're a barber surgeon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean it's a long training process.
Yeah.
But you start out as Doogie and then he started his own place, like a surgery on land, and he, I don't know, got bored or didn't want to do it. So he decided to go to sea. And there, at the time, we're in the golden age of piracy, and there were a lot of like ships that needed surgeons on board. That was a rule. You had to have one, and then pirates would try to steal them. So then you had to get a new one when the pirates took your surgeon. so there was a lot of work you could get a lot of work out there if you wanted to. And he joined up with pirates eventually and kind of like rolled with it, liked that life, and was sort of passed on with different crews and went pirating on raids along with pirates and then also was their surgeon and took care of them. At one point, he was on land with a band of pirates. They were traveling across Panama. This was like pre-canal. And so he's walking. And the story, and it, there's an account from him and an account from somebody else who was there. One way or another, he is sitting there drying out gunpowder.
Okay.
And while he's in the midst of doing this, someone nearby, like, lit up a pipe or something. And somebody had fire nearby. He, the way that he tells the story, he doesn't blame this other dude. He's like, it was nobody's fault, man. I don't know. You know, stuff happens. Like, it's rough out here. There, and then there's an account from another person, like a third party, who's like, no, it was totally this dude's fault. He just,
yeah,
like, he was like, he stood right over his gunpowder and was like, what you doing? And lit a pipe. And
he should have answered the question more quickly, to be fair. Oh, me. Oh, extremely flammable work. Please step away, Doug.
So because of that, like, the, so there was fire immediately, and he was burned really badly. Like, he it burned his knee all the way down to the bone. It burned up his thigh. Yes. So it was a very bad burn, which was bad for a couple reasons. One, like, how are we going to treat this? And two, they're traveling. They're on the move. And obviously, at that point, it became very difficult for him to keep moving. So he tried. He had some medical supplies with him. He had some ointments and some bandages. And he tried to cover it up as best he could and keep on moving along across the land. But he wasn't being able to keep up very well. They really did. And this kind of speaks to how important, if you had a barber surgeon or a sea surgeon who was working with you, you tried to keep them alive because they, you know, they
good
served
rule
a purpose.
Of thumb, I would think, for most of your crew, probably.
So they tried for a while. Well, no, that wasn't always true, though.
Oh, yeah. Some people were pretty useless. I'm sure you're happy to have them. They snored weird, maybe.
He would have been less expendable.
Okay.
So they tried to take him along for a while, and he just couldn't keep up, and the wound was getting worse. And then, like, one of the crew made off with the medical supplies he had with him and took off with them. And so he was really in a bad way. And he said, you know what, I'm just going to stay behind. At that point, they had met up with people who were indigenous to the area, the Guna people. And he was there with them, and he was like, I'm just going to hang here. Bye. I don't know. I did my best.
This guy gets bored easily. I like that.
So the people indigenous to the area had their own treatments that they applied. They had some herbal preparations, and he describes it in his writings because he wrote about all this. Like, they would chew certain herbs and apply these in poultices and cover it with plantain leaves. And whatever it all was, according to Wafer, 20 days later, it was healed.
Whoa.
And he said, other than, like, it was forever numb, he couldn't feel his knee ever again. But he kept his knee.
That's nice.
Yeah, so, like, a great story. So he decided...
I mean, there are some days it would be pretty choice not to feel my knees. I'm 42 years old. Saying. Have to buy a lot less Advil.
So he's hanging out. So he's like, this is great. My knee is better. You all are my new friends. I just want to stay with you guys.
I love it here. Please let me stay.
I mean, who knows if they were, like, open to that. Like, well, I mean, we did you a favor. Do you want to go find your friends? Or are you just going to chill here?
We actually had a whole thing planned. That's like, it would be cool if you left.
But he found a way to, like, garner their favor. Because at the same time, one of the chief's wives had fallen ill, and bleeding was common across different times and places throughout history. All different cultures would engage in, like, bloodletting as a way of treating somebody. It was common to have different ways, like, methods that people preferred of bloodletting, different areas of the body that were thought to be the best. His description of the way bloodletting was done in this region was very different than what he did. What he wrote is that basically when someone needed to be bled, you would have them sit on a rock in the river, because then the blood just goes right there.
Less
in the river.
Mess. I'm into it so far.
And then shoot teeny arrows at them.
What?
Which, of course, is a very painful way of doing this.
But a very fun way in a time where, again, let's establish, there wasn't a lot to do. That's an afternoon right there.
So
let's go shoot arrows at Kyle. And help him.
And you're helping him.
You're helping him.
You're helping him. But the thing is,
hey, Kyle, I left my wallet on the blood rock. Will you please get it when you go out? Thank you.
So he witnesses this and he's like, I have a better way. Let me show you the way we do it.
Impossible. We've refined this system.
We just sort of like strap your arm to a piece of tree bark, something to like keep it in place, and then we cut you with a lancet, is how we do it. Now, the problem with that is that the little arrow method, while more painful, it doesn't result in a lot of bleeding. We're talking like very shallow little cuts. And so just drops of blood is all you would really see from that. Now, when you cut somebody, of course, there's a lot more bleeding. So when the chief witnessed this, he was like, okay, we're all freaked out. That's terrible. This does not look like it's going to work. So if she's not better tomorrow, you're dead.
We're going to take you out to the bleeding rock and use the big arrows.
And this is one of those weird moments where there is no reason. So the documented medical condition were fits and fevers. So probably fevers and a seizure is probably what had happened. There is no reason that bleeding somebody would do anything for that, but she got better. And so he was allowed to like hang out and chill.
Sorry, and Dr. Sidney McRoy. It seems like maybe miracles sometimes do happen. Maybe you need to open your eyes and your heart a little bit to the incredible power of cutting someone and waiting.
Well, you don't just wait. You catch it in a little cup.
Ah, yes.
That's key.
It's true.
Like a little, and a fancy cup.
Yeah, but he may have had to make do.
Well, who knows? So because of this whole adventure, he lived, and he eventually wrote a book about it. This became like his whole thing. This is also why he's famous. He got burned, and then he wrote a book about his adventures and really made a living off of like telling people about all of these adventures that he had until, of course, eventually he decided he wanted to go to Jamestown, Virginia, check out what was happening there. And as soon as he got there, he was arrested because the pirate stuff. So, but what an adventure until then.
Got him.
Because he did do the pirating before all of his adventures. Hey, he forgot about that.
Finally, Sawbones does it in a death. He went to prison. That's not bad, right? That's all right. And he's still there today. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Sawbones. Thank you to the taxpayers for the use of our song, Medicines. It's the intro and outro of our program. Thanks to Paul Saborn and Clint McElroy and Amanda and Rachel and everybody who helps make the show possible. Thanks to you for being here. That is going to do it for us for this week. So until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.